You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Percolate on a particular mix of odd and inspiring news headlines in Wendy's Coffee House. Newsmakers with a penchant for the unknown, unexplained, and unusual share their experiences with UFOs, ghost encounters, near-death experiences, and more for your own unique blend of Wendy's Coffee House Curious. And now, here's Wendy.
Oh, yeah. So much happening. I mean, when we talked earlier about this summer with our astrologer being just kind of all across the charts with Mercury retrograde, Mars retrograde, and then the eclipses and everything like that, it's incredible. So many things have just kind of started abruptly, and there's just a lot of, in some way, shape, or form, chaos happening. But amidst all the chaos, there are some good pieces of news. And of course, you know, I go for the, maybe not the headline, but a showstopper, which I like, Jean-Luc Picard, back at the helm. Star Trek. Yes! Yes! They canceled my favorite show, People of Earth. Well, shoot, even after the third season was already written, ready to go, and then they came back and said, we changed our mind. We were going to do it. We weren't. So we're not going to mention who did it, but that's it. So the good news is that Patrick Stewart said that, you know, he had no idea the impression and the impact of the show. But people kept coming up and saying, you know, they really felt a deep connection with his character. He said, well, you know what? I can go back and do that. But what he did say was, just don't expect the captain to be exactly the same as you remember, because things have happened since then. And that's a hint. Okay, I don't know if he's going to come back wearing the Borg stuff, but anything's possible. In Missouri, anything can happen. You want to be this guy. He said he had some pocket change. So he figured, just get rid of the pocket change. Well, the pocket change, he said, this lottery ticket thing that he bought wasn't even the initial idea. He just thought, well, you know, I'll throw it in. And he stopped by at Casey's. Yeah, Casey. I know somebody else who likes Casey's. And he spent the change on a, we'll tell you, just in case you want to feel lucky and it might be catching, Missouri Lottery 5X Bingo Scratcher ticket. He thought he won $3,000. Then he had a friend who was a bit more careful in the observation, and they looked it over and found additional money, the X on the bingo sheet. He forgot about the X. He didn't even think about that. That's when he realized he won over $55,000. Like I said, you want to be that guy. All right. And the other fun thing out there, this is, you know, sharks. Anybody, when you're going to the beach and then they say shark, it's like out of the water ASAP. Well, this is ASAP faster, times 10, because they closed the beach after somebody said, the Volkswagen-size shark, Massachusetts. And the fisherman saying, oh, wow. They recorded their close encounter. I didn't see the video, but they, 12 to 13 foot white shark. Okay. Anyway, the size of a Volkswagen Beetle. That's why I don't like swimming in deep water necessarily, you know, ocean. Dolphins are okay. I just know there's a shark somewhere looking for those dolphins, and they might make a mistake because sharks can do that. And I can't swim as fast as a dolphin. A second in eternity. I've talked with Gary Wimmer before. This guy is absolutely extraordinary. The story, if you have not heard it before, of his near-death experience is a jaw-dropper. This is something that, you know, near-death experiences are incredible. But this one, I think you'll be surprised. And if you haven't heard the story before, it's worth checking out, because there were some other things that led up to this that made it really, really unusual. And so Gary, I'll let him tell his own story. He's also involved in a lot of other things as a result. Lithomancy, which is the way you predict and you foretell the future or do a reading for somebody using stones. And we'll let him get into that as well. And he's also an actor, and he has some videos on YouTube supporting that. Saying, here, look at me. I liked your videos, Gary, by the way. I liked all of them.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like you're a working man. You're a working actor. You're very involved in the Austin scene.
Oh, I have to stay busy or I go crazy. And idle mind is the devil's workshop, as they used to say.
Oh, well, no devil in your workshop. Okay, good. Okay. We're going to tell more of the story into the next break, but just to give people an idea, Second in Eternity, you wrote the book about it. And to kind of give people if this isn't enough for the show, you can deep dive and read the book because it's definitely a fascinating story. But you had a near-death, the out-of-body experience back in 1977. And that's when I read that, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's just amazing. And you had witnesses too that could see what happened. So give us a brief overview of what it was like that day walking down the street.
Well, I'll give you a little lead up into it,
yeah,
which is very important. And yes, there were witnesses, you know. Toward the end of January in 1977, I quit a band and decided to stay at my house for a while and consider other musical ventures. But the night I quit the band, I noticed there was some friends around me in my room, in my duplex, my roommates and so forth. I started picking up things, what people were thinking. And the next day, it escalated. And one of the first things I noticed was I was starting to hear what people would say before they'd say it. And I thought, this is weird. And then my roommate came walking in from outside reading the newspaper, and I saw the headlines through his eyes. Now, I wasn't sure about that till he threw the paper down on the table and started talking, and I'm staring at the headlines, and it's about Jimmy Carter. It's exactly the same picture I saw just a second ago.
Wow.
And this started happening more and more frequently. In fact, within 24 to 48 hours, it had escalated to the point that I couldn't even remember what normal life was like. I started having these premonitions about everything. And the strange thing was there was no neutral, because I couldn't remember by the second or third day what it was like to not have this. I was either picking things up or to keep my mind out of the devil's workshop, I suppose. I was thinking about things, projecting things, because there was no way to just ignore this. It had become overwhelming. I was at one moment scared to death, and at the next moment so enlightened, it was mind-baffling. I felt so powerful and intuitive. But it was not like normal walking, waking consciousness. Mm-hmm. Everything had been on alert. This kept building up and building up. I'll give you an example or two of what I was going through. One night in a bar, this is about the second or third day, in a bar I could pick up when people would walk by me all about them. You know, their lives, and it just jumped out like it was exposed, like they were carrying a sign, stating everything about their life. And it got so confusing, I thought, I need to step outside and get some air. And all of a sudden, I felt like I was standing outside.
Wow.
And people started walking into the bar. They walked right through me. And that scared me. I opened my eyes, and nope, I was still in the bar stool in the bar. But the door opened, and the people walked in just like I'd seen them. And I thought, that's weird. I'll try that again. So I started realizing it at will. I could just put myself outside and see people walking in and describe them in perfect detail because I'm seeing them.
Wow.
And my roommate came in from the other side of the bar, and I started didn't want to explain it to him. I just bet him I could tell who the next people would be dressed like. Yeah. He bet me $5, and I called it perfectly correct. He said, you were just outside. No, I've been sitting here asking all these people. I hadn't moved at all. Do it again. So I did it a couple more times. Blew his mind. And now he was my roommate. And by the second or third day, I kind of took him on as a someone I had to talk to.
Yeah.
Because it was getting too intense. And he kept warning me. I hadn't been sleeping. This is about the third day of no sleep. And I couldn't fall asleep. I wasn't tired. I was so energized. And he kept warning me, you got to get some sleep. So anyway, this continued and continued and continued for about the eighth day. It got to the point of, and in the book, I break the book up to two parts. Part one is all this buildup of this unexplainable 100% accurate psychic ability on and you know, on constantly.
Mm-hmm.
But the second part of the book is the day you were talking about, the evening of February 7th, 1977. I had had it. I couldn't take it anymore. I left my house walking somewhere. I didn't know where, but I just had to walk. I had to move. It was too intense. Long story short, between this time, in this week prior to this build-up, I felt these guardian angels watching me. I called them monitors because they seemed to be monitoring me. Actually, they seemed to almost name themselves that. So on February 7th, after a week of this build-up, I kept feeling these monitors kind of around me more than ever. Long story short again, I was scared to death. I'd had it. I was praying. I was crying. I was screaming in the middle of the street with a lot of people. I just couldn't take it anymore. And the monitors appeared and told me that I basically, to trust them, that I was protected. And within seconds, I was involved in a head-on collision with a car.
Hold on. That's where we're going to stop. Because okay. That's when it all hits, okay?
That's when it all hits.
Yeah,
right.
All right. So we're talking with Gary Wimmer. The book, you can catch up with it on A Second in Eternity, and this is a fantastic story. You can also check out Gary's website, GaryWimmer.com. We're going to be back with the rest of the story in the beginning of A Whole New Way of Life here on KCMO Talk Radio, Wendy's Coffee House. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. You can check out any of this show on the podcast, because I do all the shows, put them up on a podcast afterwards. So there's, you know, if you miss anything or have to take a break or can't pay attention, then the podcast is on Audio Boom, wendyscoffeehouse.com. The other thing about this with Gary Wimmer, my guest, who's also psychic and does all sorts of extraordinary other extracurricular things like singing and acting and psychic readings. Gary, just like you said, the devil's workshop for you isn't going to ever have any opportunity to get started. It's too crowded.
Good point.
Well, okay, so with this, and the reason I wanted to have you back because this is such an extraordinary thing, the way that you have this psychic, you are just enmeshed in this, and it would absolutely be mind-boggling and completely and totally, I think, impossible to live with 24/7. You'd have to isolate yourself because just going out and having all these impressions just ruining your peace of mind. It would be, I think, incapacitating. Was that, I'll step back just a minute, was that what it was like?
Well, yeah, I'm not necessarily, it was ruining, it was making me question the relationship between internal experience and external happenings.
Mm-hmm.
There was such a clear relationship that, as I was telling you earlier, I had no neutral, so I was either picking up things or absorbing things. Or I'll give you another example. I was in the restaurant with a friend, and he was with my friend Brendan, who was kind of my roommate and the person I talked to during this experience.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked me, I said, is it still going on? I said, more than ever. He said, like what? And I said, I'll give you an example. And I looked at two ladies in the far corner of the restaurant, neither of whom I knew, and then asked him if he knew them. No. And I said, well, I'm going to have the brunette write me a letter. What? I said, I'm going to have the brunette write me a letter. Very harmless little thing, I thought. So we're eating dinner, and of course, he completely forgot about that, but I didn't. I kept thinking, hey, brunette, I'm the guy in the blue shirt over here. Write me a letter when you leave, because we were by the door. They'd have to walk that way to get the cashier.
Uh-huh.
15 minutes later, the ladies walked by, and the brunette I'd been thinking about threw a napkin down on the table, and on it, in big, bold letters, she has written, why are you doing this to me? Song for the restaurant. So, and like I said, there was witnesses all around during this period. Otherwise, I would certainly question it, but all my roommates and friends, and as I'm about to proceed with this accident,
yeah,
how many witnesses there were. I think when we left off, I said I was involved in an accident, a head-on collision. I don't want to ruin all the details because it's pretty interesting the way it came about. But before I knew it, I was outside my body after I hit this car. After the car hit me, my head hit the hood. The last thing I remember seeing was the light, the headlight. It left a little glow on the retina of my eye. And all of a sudden, I felt like I saw the Big Bang. And it felt like one of infinite Big Bangs. And I was going from walking down the street to recognizing infinite Big Bangs within a split second. And I was outside of my body looking down at my body being pulverized by this car getting bashed all up. But it didn't really affect me. It was almost like, well, that's what happens on Earth, whether it's my body or not. And I started expanding in all directions, like the surface of a balloon. It was an incredibly beautiful feeling. I had shifted from absolute fear about this buildup and what the hell was going on to pure bliss in a matter of a second after these monitors, these guardian angels, promised they would protect me, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So I'm expanding outside, like the outside of a balloon, the surface of a balloon, bigger and bigger, and I feel all these planets and galaxies and stars going inside of me, and I'm seeing all these things about my life and about the Earth, and so much I can't even begin to describe it all. Eventually, I end up in what I considered the infinite mind of God. It was infinite feeling of beauty, of harmony. It was the most incredible, beautiful thing one could ever experience. There was no fear. There was no separation from one thing to the next, yet infinite possibilities that eventually became universes and people and ants and quarks in quantum physics. Then I was drawn back from this as if I were witnessing it and pulled back to somewhere. I didn't know where I was headed, but I knew that where I was pretty nice. I didn't particularly want to leave, but I did. Kept being pulled back into it by a means I considered a spiritual gravity. Something's pulling me somewhere.
Yeah.
Had no idea where I was headed. Of course, I had no idea who I had been on Earth, who I was. I lost all that in the travel outside my body. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I'm heading back towards somewhere, and the closer I got to Earth, I realized, oh, I got a connection with this planet. And boom, I'm back in my body, laying in front of a car and people screaming and hollering. I felt no pain. I wasn't even hurt. I just jumped to my feet and started talking to people. And boy, did that blow all the witnesses away.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So therefore, they called cops and an ambulance, and everybody was wondering why I wasn't hurt. And every time I tried to explain it, it ding, 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 ding. That didn't sound real stable, mentally stable.
Yeah.
And I could understand. I wouldn't have believed what I was trying to describe to people. So this happened in 77.
That's another thing, 1977. That's a huge deal because back then this was still, and you're saying people would think you were crazy, this was a taboo subject. And there wasn't a whole lot of, info.
I had no reference to go by whatsoever. I didn't even know to look. Of course, there wasn't any internet. We have to go to the library and look up near-death experience. There was some books written, but I hadn't read them. I didn't know this until later. Life after death and life after life and Moody books.
Raymond Moody would have been one of the ones.
Right, a lot of books I started reading about 10 years after that.
Mm-hmm.
Because for a long time I thought I can't describe what I've been through. I don't expect anybody to believe it. My friends and family, of course. Police and judges. It was a big spectacle. I had to go to court and everything.
Wait. Why did you have to go to court? Was it because you caused the accident or somebody? I mean, what was the deal with that?
Well, they committed me to a psychiatric. I didn't actually go, but they committed me to a psychiatric hospital under a order of protective custody.
Okay.
Because people don't talk about leaving their body and and talking to aliens and
I was going to ask you, did you talk to any ETs?
Well, I saw so many different manifestations of mm-hmm. infinite mind, different souls, different galaxies, different planets. I mean, we see 1/10 billionth of a percent of what there is, and we only see one small sliver of who we are. We just see in this lifetime certain activated parts of ourselves in this particular life, in this particular time. I saw a lot of past lives. And what was also so interesting was if you took all my past lives and all yours and every molecule and every element and every thought and every universe and every galaxy, really what you'd only have is the infinite imagination of infinite love or God. All this is imagined. This is Maya. This is thought precedes action. And even now, I read a lot about quantum physics. The real thing in quantum physics, for those who don't know, I'll be real brief. The more you get down to the subatomic level, the classical physics doesn't work. Things aren't clearly defined, places, times, momentum. You can find one thing and not another. So it looks like when you look at the very small parts of nature, it's just a set of possibilities mm-hmm. rather than actuality like a table. And physicists all agree now there's something that makes this exist because it's beyond time and space. When you get to the smallest particles of the universe, they don't follow the rules of gravity or time and space. There is no time. There is no space. There is no effect of gravity. It's completely confounding.
Okay, hold on, because we're going to have to take a break, do some news. But I want to come.
I'll be there.
I want to come back to that because that's what's so fascinating about all of this. It is the thought, the projection, the mind, the consciousness, all of these elements that add
Herber.
Up. Okay, so hang on. And we're going to come back with more. It's Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. My guest, Gary Wimmer. The thing about this is, if you've ever had one of these experiences, mine wasn't a near death, but it was a shift, a monster shift. And part of it was the science behind things saying, go back and look at the dots. They aren't linear. And the chaos, the quantum, the fabric of what we are is completely beyond our comprehension. But we have to start somewhere. So the building blocks are basically what we get here. And then we can go anywhere with it. So I like when Gary's talking about everything is potential and the things aren't all laid out in cement. This is where I think a lot of us are in terms of trying to figure out what's going on behind the scenes, are drawn to other things like ET or you name it, other alternative types of awareness, because it's so fascinating. And especially from Gary's view, when he got this incredible glimpse of beyond, coming back and sticking himself in this little body has to be a tad confining, or maybe not. What's it like now, Gary? I mean, you're way out there and going into the science. We'll get back to that in just a minute. But do you have even a fraction of that infinite awareness that was with you?
Oh, yeah. I think once you've seen it, you can't forget it. Do I have access to all of it? Yes. Can I pull it off? No, because I'm a human
mm-hmm.
still.
Yeah.
The information is there. We do have a connection to it because that's where we came from. We just have certain activated parts of ourselves, so we may have to develop skill sets to tap back into that, but it's always there. And we were talking about the quantum levels. The thing that I think is so fascinating is what I experienced was that thought creates matter and energy and existence. And thought, of course, starts with infinite thought, because if it wasn't infinite, what would limit it? You know, if God and the universe or whatever, however you look at it, wasn't infinite, what would possibly put a limitation on it? It'd have to be bigger.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about the highest levels of consciousness are infinitely self-creating and no limitations. So it's real easy to create universes. It's just a matter of thought, infinite thought. And we are part of that infinite thought. We took on bodies. And I actually believe humans who incarnate took part in the creation of the very universe that we exist in.
Mm-hmm.
We took part in it so we'd have a place to play and develop. You know?
Well, and you have to forget things if you want to learn anything, because you come in knowing it all, it's like, well, that's boring.
Oh, absolutely. And the quantum levels that a lot of physicists are talking about now, because they're starting to inject the concept of consciousness
yes.
into quantum physics because of this alone. There's no way to study quantum physics without observing it. And when you observe it, things go from possibilities to what they call wave function collapse. Only this possibility occurs because we're looking at it. It's not in two places. A car can't be in two places in the physical world, classical world. In quantum physics, it can be.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at it, it depends on how you look at it. So the whole point is the observer, they're realizing more and more it affects reality.
Yes.
Which is exactly what I felt. We are the observer and we are the creator. So the very small parts of matter and subatomic particles that make up our universe, it's sort of the interface between infinite mind and matter and energy. That's the way I see it. I don't think they'll ever put that into a formula, but they're starting to realize there's more to it than just what we see. There's a book I read recently by Ruth E. Kasner, K-A-S-N-E-R. She's one of the several physicists who's now incorporating consciousness and free will into quantum mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty fascinating the way she does it. She's got several books, Ruth Kasner. I read books all the time about the connections between consciousness and the universe. They all agree in certain ways that there's more that we can't put our finger on, but science will have to accept at some point it won't fit into a formula. But
yes,
that doesn't mean it's not usable.
Yeah. Well, and that's part of it. That's what they're building blocks. Each
Absolutely.
Stage and phase leads to another. And I think what happens now is more scientists or people who are going into that field have had this kind of awareness or an experience that says, wait a second. And you start asking questions from another direction, and that opens up a whole new field of awareness, of knowledge, of seeking, of exploring.
Because that's the next level of consciousness that human beings have to attain in order to not blow ourselves off the planet, whether it's through nuclear war or environment. We have to learn to think deeper and see the mutuality and the mutual coexistence of everything.
It was
depends on everything.
There was something right just recently that came out about how there's this basically the annihilations of the worms. And worms are incredibly important because they're the substructure. They're what keeps the planet going in terms of the environment, the soil, the ground, the earth, and because of all of our toxins and our wish to be more efficient farmers, we get rid of all those little things, the little nematodes, all those little things. And I heard a little advertisement about slugs, and they're saying, that's not a good thing because you're destroying the one thing that is the ultimate recycling unit.
And absolutely.
So some of this stuff, you know, these little teeny tiny infinitesimal changes that we're making have a big ramification long term. Back to your story. When you're out, the science, the quantum level is what you're experiencing, and you come back in. Now you do readings and you pick up on other people in a unique way. And that, I think, I've seen some testimonials. You know, you get a very good response. What is it now that you identify in people that you think would be more important for them to connect to? Like the first thing when somebody comes to you for a reading, and where do you go with that?
Well, I think one of the things I emphasize more than anything is, first of all, I started giving psychic readings way back in the 70s. In 1980, I learned this method I know now as far as reading stones called lithomancy. But whether it's I use cards or lithomancy or just, I guess, common sense that I've attained through experience, there's plenty of stuff about the world that we cannot change. And we can't change the past. We can't change other people. We can affect people, you know. But if I believe the world's flat, you're going to have hell convincing me it's round, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So there's things we can do and can't do. And I think one of the wisest things people can ever learn, and this I emphasize, it's not yesterday. We can't change yesterday, so don't worry about it. Can't change other people, don't worry about it. It's all in our perception. That we can change at free will any time, and that's our strongest thing. It's how we see things, because how we perceive things at this moment, not yesterday or not maybe tomorrow, but how we perceive them now means whether we go right or left at the next intersection. Or the next thing we've experienced in life, is it life screwing with me, or is it life showing me something new I have to learn? So the main thing I suggest to people all the time, regardless of the circumstances, it's how you look at it. And if you look at it like life's teaching me some good things, you benefit from the very things that are going on. If you look at it like life's screwing me over again, you get that. You get back to perception, back to you create your own reality by the way you look at it. So the one thing, the best use of free will ever, and I stress this a lot, in my opinion, is how you look at things now. It's all matter of perspective and attitude and intention. That matters. You know,
I think that sets
the groundwork for what happens next.
And that's what I would like to go into a little bit further, because there's a confusion about positive affirmations. You know, you repeat something over and over again and it's going to happen. That isn't the way it works. That's kind of the superficial thing of, okay, I'm practicing smiling, but there's nothing under it. It's empty. And so getting back into you bring things to you and make that decision of whether you're going to turn right or left at the stoplight. Can we explain it just a little bit more? The next break, we've got to take another break again. But again, Gary Wimmer.
Well, I'll use my own experience. You were very gracious and say I'm a singer. I'm actually a pretty crappy singer. I played music my whole life. But I never had a good voice.
Hold on, hold on. We're going to come back, and we won't test you. Well, we might. We're going to come back. Gary Wimmer, my guest on Wendy's Coffee House. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Thank you for listening. And if you're doing the podcast thing, it's 24/7. I love that about it. You can, you know, catch up with some of the other shows. You can even catch up with Gary's interview earlier. I think it's been a year. Anyway, Gary Wimmer is my guest. He's a psychic. He's also had an extraordinary near-death experience. And we were just getting into the thing about manifesting and thinking and basically thought projection. And it's different than affirmations. Affirmations, I'm going to be rich. I'm going to be famous. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be married. I'm going, you know, all this, I will, I will, I will, I am. And at the same time, there's more to that than just saying it. It's embodying that so that your physical expression becomes what you are integrating, what you are intending. And I think Gary has a way of explaining that better than I do, of course. That's why he's here. Okay, Gary.
Well, actually, during my near-death experience, when I was coming back to the planet, I saw a lot of stuff about myself, not even knowing it was myself I was seeing. Mm-hmm. I saw myself playing piano in a country band and some other places. I barely even played piano then. I certainly saw all this chaos we're going through now with economics and political, and that's something that's, you know, it's a generation or two before we come to the clear 1,000 years plus of peace, which I do believe is happening. But we're all having to learn to look at our effect on the planet, how we love each other, how we don't. We're all having to learn, and this is a big learning time for humankind, especially even as you were saying before this, before I got on, about the big retrograde effect on everything right now. It's very strong. So back to what I was saying, connecting the dots again, we can't change a lot of things, but the things we can change are the most important, the way we look at things, because life is never trying to screw with us. It's always trying to show us something new. We just don't get a curriculum like you do in college, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do yourself a favor and realize that every curveball that life gives you is helping you become a better batter, then there's no problem. And I didn't learn that overnight. As I was closing a moment ago, I told you I'm not a good singer.
Yeah.
I started playing guitar way back in the early 60s, before the Beatles even came out. In 1970, I graduated from college, electrical engineer, did not want to work in the defense industry, so I decided to play music. Boy, that was tough with a crappy voice. But in 1980, out of frustration, I taught myself piano to learn to have two instruments. And 4 years later, I talked my way into some piano bars, and I'm not a good singer and not a very good player. But I learned to be a good entertainer.
Mm-hmm.
Within a couple years, I was traveling all over Europe. So it's not what you can't do. It's what you can do. I can't change my voice. I can pray all day. I ain't going to sing like Ray Charles. But I can empower myself to make the audience laugh and have a good time.
Yeah.
If I couldn't do that, I wouldn't be in music. But, yeah, I've done some acting. I've done some writing. I wrote A Second Eternity. I wrote a book called Lithomancy, The Psychic Art of Reading Stones, which goes into a lot of detail about how this system can work.
And that's impressive because you give a lot of content in that, even just the overview of your webpage for people to get an idea. And there's also a couple of YouTube videos. But that is something that is rare. It isn't. It's a unique talent and a way of looking at things that I think is really objective and at the same time fascinating.
Yeah, it's an interesting, fascinating system. I use 16 stones. If I do it in person, someone drops them. If I do it over the phone, they say drop. And I read the pattern like a clock over 12 weeks. It's a fascinating system, but the real bottom line is that it's all symbolism. And if you can teach yourself to read symbolism, you can read anything. I remember when I lived in Europe all during the 90s, many times, whether they're musician friends or girlfriends of musicians or people in the bar, word got out that I gave psychic readings, but I didn't always have my stones with me. Several times I said, well, I can't, I don't have my stones. And then finally I thought, no, I'll give you a reading with whatever I can set up on the table. So I a couple times had people come up and set things on the table, like, you know, a trinket, an earring, an ashtray, a guitar string, a coin. And I'd walk out of the room and come back in 2 minutes, and they'd set all this stuff up in whatever random fashion they thought. And I would read that.
Okay, I have a question.
I would is because I did not question at all the fact that I can read things.
I want to.
Everybody can, but most people question it.
What I
and
would.
It is a developed skill, just like music or driving or sex or piano or bowling. You know.
I like the combo that you put in there. That was really subtle, Gary.
No, it's true, though. It's true. Everything's a matter of practice, right?
Yes. That was okay. Fine. We're going to segue right along into. Can we do a demo on this? Like either for, so I can put on the website, a quick reading for this the state of the economy, the state of this the country, or you can do a reading on me, and I'll put it on the website so people can see if they're listening to this. This is how it played out, and this is how you follow along. With that,
well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to get a little deck of cards here. It'll take me a minute to set up my stones. We've only got a moment. I also read cards. So you asked the question whether it's economy or whatever, and I'll tell you what I see.
Yes. Well, the elections and how things are going with our country. You say we were approaching the 1,000 years of peace. How close are we?
It's not necessarily a date, but it ain't within our lifetimes. You know?
Okie doke. So we're the learning curve, huh?
Oh yeah, this is a long transition for mankind to stay. We haven't yet to figure out how to not pollute. You know, and there's so much free energy in the universe that we can get it. I've often believed that because of magnetism, the natural magnetism of the Earth, the rotation, the electromagnetic energy from the sun, there's free energy.
Yes.
If we can figure it out, there's free energy.
Yeah.
Free, absolutely. It had to do with the moving magnets of the Earth.
Okay, so back to the question then, are we a train wreck or a speed bump?
This is a speed bump. This is the first time in history that technology has allowed communication and information all across the whole world at once, so this is the only time that we've really had that we can go through this big change of consciousness. We see the good, bad, and ugly every day, and we choose whether to participate in the good, the bad, or the ugly. And by doing that, we are creating our fate. Now, I'm an optimist. I believe in spite of all the greed, selfishness, and stupidity and anti-environmental crap that's going on in the world, we're going to succeed eventually. It doesn't mean we're not going to have a lot of road bumps and pollution to clear up and nuclear weapons to get rid of, but that's not going to happen in our lifetime. However, it's like the start of the age of Aquarius. When was it, 1950 or 2050? It's, a 2,600-year period. It doesn't have an exact date.
Mm-hmm.
It's a transition from Pisces into Aquarius, and Aquarius is very liberating. So it's going to be a very liberating time in the future, but we're going through the bumps of getting out of the age of Pisces and into the age of Aquarius, and that calls for a lot of growth and intelligence. And you learn growth and intelligence by realizing sometimes how stupid you are.
Yeah, you have to see the worst-case scenario before you say, oh, I don't really want to do that.
You got to, run into the wall to realize, oh, I can't go through it. Okay, therefore I'll walk around it.
Okay.
You know?
We're out of time. I want to give you a chance, though, that the people who would like to have a reading with you, they just give you a phone call. Is it a Skype or what's the deal?
Well, the best thing to do is go check out my website, either GaryWimmer.com, GaryWimmer.com, or Lithomancy.com, Lithomancy, like lithograph.
I know. You asked me my phone number the other day, and I couldn't remember it. I'm like, I called it. That must be it. Yeah, that's right.
And if you call, leave a message, because I get so many telemarketing calls. Leave a clear message. I don't even answer the phone. I get 30, 40 telemarketing calls a day. So you got to leave a message.
And the phone is on the website, okay? We'll just do you a favor there and say it's on the website. So they have to do two steps.
I'll give it. People can have it, but leave a message. 512-707-0836. No clear message. I won't call back. I get too many spam calls.
Okay, so if you're listening, behave. Behave. Don't act out. And think positive. Also, be more clear on your thoughts. We're going to get through this.
Absolutely. Intentions are everything.
Gary, thank you. Thank you.
You too, Wendy. Thank you so much, sweetheart. Have a good day and stay inspired, girl. Don't worry.
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's why I wanted to talk with you again. I wanted to ramp up that energy, that enthusiasm, that excitement for the making the curve. This
it's
is the curve.
It's all okay, girl. It's all okay.
We're going to the curve, and I'm not walking in the street without an accompaniment.
There you go.
Look both ways. Hey, thank you for listening. My guest, Gary Wimmer, is fantastic. We may have to have him back so we can talk more about lithomancy. But right now, we got to get out of here. In the meantime, whatever you're doing, wherever you are, upgrade. Upgrade. This is an amazing time when we can actually see the results of our actions, our intentions, and our awareness. And it's only going to get better. All right? There you go. Light at the end of the tunnel. Till next time, stay positive and stay curious. Wendy's Coffee House.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.